Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. We have our wonderful colleague, Dr. Andrew Ciccolini, in the house. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. And to the listeners, we have a really great, you know, interest. I love learning about our colleagues in the profession. You know, we do great work. And if you haven't heard his story, enough for me to invite him on the show because I want to amplify what he's been through and also this great mission that he's on, helping get some additional financial support for this beautiful dog, a medical doctor named, tell everybody the name of her.
Salida.
Salida at Colorado Children's Hospital as well. And just a little bit of background, and then I want him to do the rest. Dr. Ciccolini is currently the medical director for the National Mill Dog Rescue located in Colorado. He's a graduate from The Ohio State University's College of Vet Med. Go!
Buckeyes.
He also has a master's in organizational leadership. He spent 9 years on active duty with the Army Veterinary Corps and continues to serve in the National Guard. He has also partnered with Galaxy Vets in 2022 to launch a telehealth initiative to help pets suffering from the war in Ukraine. He's active on social media as the OK underscore vet. That's OKAY underscore vet. And he has 3 dogs, all mutts, and enjoys playing rugby, snowboarding, and hiking. That keeps you busy, huh?
It sure does. And that's a pretty typical Colorado hobby. So
it is. It is. I love it. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself even more.
Yeah. So obviously you mentioned graduated from Ohio State in 2011 and I feel like I'm really fortunate to have started in the Army. It's just such a unique experience. Not that many people get an opportunity to do it. And I got to travel all over the world, do some really unique things. Working with military working dogs was one of my favorite parts of the job. And in 2019, I elected to leave active duty. And we were having our first child at the time. That's where my story kind of changes. And, you know, I think we've all experienced when our personal life can kind of take over our professional life. And that's kind of what happened for me. And the pregnancy actually started while I was on my last assignment in Korea. And my wife at the time was still in Colorado. So we were separated. And complications started immediately in the pregnancy within the second ultrasound. And so everything was, all these appointments and things were happening while I was in Korea, and I'd have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to talk to doctors. And it started getting really complicated. And truthfully, nobody really knew what was going on. And I kept thinking, you know, I was going to wake up to a phone call at 3 a.m. saying that, you know, everything was all over and that the pregnancy had ended because no one just really knew what was going on. And exited active duty, came back to Colorado, and 2 weeks later, we were in the hospital for, you know, a planned C-section. And I don't think any of us really knew what was going to happen because we just didn't know what was wrong, other than that there was a lot of developmental abnormalities in our son. And anybody that follows me on social media is kind of aware of my son, Ethan. I like to share about his story. He was an amazing kiddo. And so he was born in October 10th of 10/10/2019 at Children's Hospital Colorado, and he ended up being the most amazing kid ever. He was just the happiest kid ever. I share his smile all the time. That was my favorite thing about him. He also developed the most amazing set of hair. I know this is a podcast, you can't see me. He definitely didn't get that set of hair from me. I'm completely bald. And we spent a lot of time with Children's Hospital Colorado. So unfortunately he passed away in 2022 at the age of 2.5 years old. And about half of his life was spent in Children's Hospital, Colorado. Most of which was in the intensive care unit, starting with the NICU when he was initially born. We spent first 4 months there. And I think, you know, this isn't necessarily a unique experience. We've all experienced our children being sick and just how stressful that can be. And plenty of other veterinarians have had children in the NICU or PICU or just in the hospital in general. And I think it can be really challenging being a veterinarian, having to spend time in the hospital with your kid, and then you go to work in a hospital and you're just constantly surrounded by medicine, and it can be really overwhelming. And that's kind of what I experienced. It really got difficult for me to do my day job, just in the hospital all the time, you know? I got really fortunate that I was able to find the job at the National Mill Dog Rescue around that time. Because it's just a lot more laid back atmosphere, and they've been super supportive of me needing to take time off to take care of Ethan. Because even when he wasn't in the hospital, he was always, you know, having medical appointments. And you know, Children's Hospital of Colorado, like, I just can't thank them enough and what they did for Ethan and our family. I don't know that we would have even gotten 2.5 years with him without them. And, you know, I know I talk a lot about his medical appointments, but I think it's important for me to mention that, like, he was a happy kid. Like, his life was worth living. He loved his mom and dad, and he loved having books read to him. That was my favorite thing to do with him. The Little Blue Truck series was our favorite book series. I read, I took the moon for a walk every night before bed, and, every time, the second he saw that book, he would just have the biggest smile on his face. And that was my favorite thing to do with him, was just reading books. And I miss him a lot. And I think, you know, we see all these people that go through these tragic losses. A lot of people tend to start a nonprofit foundation or raise money for the disease that their child had. And I think the reason that happens is, it is such an incredible loss that it just sucks away all meaning in your life, and it can be really hard to carry on and continue. And so you search for a way to keep you going and find something positive to spin out of such a tragedy. And so that's kind of what I did, is I just, like, needed a way to stay connected to Ethan and just keep finding reasons to use his name and keep talking about him and remember him positively. And so that's what I've been doing. I've been working with Children's Hospital, doing a couple of different events, raising money for them. And they reached out to me and asked me to help with their medical doctor program, and raise money for that. And so that's
tell me about the program, the medical doctor program.
Yeah. So it wasn't there when Ethan was in the hospital. So a little thing about Children's Hospital of Colorado, one of the best children's hospitals in the region, but they have two locations. They have one up in Denver, so Aurora, that's their main hospital. And I'm down in Colorado Springs, so about an hour and a half away. And their new hospital down there actually opened up just a few months before Ethan was born. And so they've had a medical doctor program up in Denver for a while. And they've only recently started one down in Children's Hospital, Colorado Springs. So for about a year and a half, Salida is the only dog down there. And it's a little different than just, you know, a dog that comes in and just says hi to people and, you know, people get to pet them and be happy. This is actually run by the hospital, a highly trained dog. So Salida is a Labrador retriever. And Salida works with a child life specialist. And so she can go anywhere within the hospital, obviously within reason, like where I can go in surgery suites or anything like that, and work directly with kids and families and just help kids work through any challenges they're having. If they're really scared about a procedure or anything else that's going on, Salida can be there to help comfort them. And her handler is highly trained to work with those kids and just help ease their comfort. I think we all understand just how scary being in a hospital could be for both kids and parents and families. And so she's just there to help everybody have a little bit easier time.
It's beautiful. Well, I mean, so much to unpack there. I mean, really, thank you for sharing your story. And we're celebrating Ethan on this podcast and continuously celebrating all the joy that he has given you and your family too. So I'm so sorry for your loss, but sharing his name and this story and doing good with Salida, I think will help carry that on. And, you know, we're here at DVM360 happy to help you as well. And, you know, I do want to talk about this because I talk about loss a lot. I've been through it myself in a different capacity than what you're talking about, but loss is loss. And as a veterinarian, I really, my hat's off to you for recognizing the fact that you're in a place that was very tough to continuously be the doctor that they wanted you to be. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I always want to share that with the listeners too. There's nothing wrong when you realize and recognize like, wait a minute, hold up. Like, I don't think I continue to be in this capacity with where I'm at and what I've been faced. These boulders is what I call them in your life, because we've all been there. And I just, my hat's off to you, because to recognize that and to pivot a little bit and still do great work, I think is phenomenal. So much respect for what you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you. And I mean, it's just hard, right? Like we deal with loss every day in our profession. Yes. There's just no avoiding it. And sure, it's different with a pet, but it's just a reminder of your own loss every time. And you have to kind of bury that down, because you don't want to take away from the pet family's loss by bringing your own into the situation. And so we just kind of keep this internal, and I think we really need to acknowledge the impact it has on us.
Yeah. Grief is a funny emotion, isn't it? You think you're okay. And, you know, I'll never forget. I've dealt with loss myself, and I was, you know, doing a euthanasia on a cat. I just had this hysterical breakdown with the clients too. And it wasn't just the cat. It was everything else I was experiencing, and it came out of nowhere. And I was like, holy smokes. Like, you just don't know. You really don't. And I always say grief is a funny thing, because again, it can just, you know, resurface its head every now and then. You can be in the grocery store aisle and something can just hit you, right? A song can come on and it can remind you of something. But I do think it's very admirable of you. And then especially with what you've been doing in the Army and everything, thank you for all the great service that you do.
You know, I'm really glad you shared that story, because I just got finished saying how, you know, we're not supposed to share our own grief journey during those difficult times helping a pet parent with the loss of their own pet. But what you described is just such a uniquely human experience. Like, grief just hits us really hard sometimes, and we really just can't help it. And we just kind of hope that people give us the grace that we need to get through those difficult times. And I wanted to share an aspect of mine and Ethan's story that I've shared parts of, but I've never really told anyone the entire story. And I was there when Ethan passed away. Tried my best to get through this story. He had been in the hospital for about 5-6 weeks by this point, being treated for respiratory failure and C. diff. And we had been through so many hospitalizations just like this already that he's made it through. So we had no reason to believe that he wouldn't make it through this one either. And he ended up on a ventilator for the second time in his life, which is one of the most awful experiences. It's hard to describe seeing somebody you love so much on a ventilator and not knowing if they'll ever be off of it again. And you know, he got off the ventilator and he was doing better, and we were stepping down his oxygen support. And then he started doing worse. And I remember I, you know, took Saturday and I went and played some rugby and hung out with my friends to kind of take a break. And then Sunday I went back up to the hospital, and he wasn't doing well. And I just had this sick feeling in my stomach the entire day. Just felt like, you know, things really weren't okay. And I just didn't have the courage to really express my feelings to his medical team. Cause I always had this like hesitation about, you know, I didn't want to be that overbearing medical professional that tries to insert themselves and be like, oh, I'm a vet, so I know everything about medical care for Ethan. And I had been that way his whole life. So I didn't really say anything, and I still regret it to this day. It still eats away at me. He probably needed to go back on a ventilator at that point. And, you know, later that evening, early the next morning, he crashed, and I was there and had to witness him receive CPR. And anybody that witnesses CPR, whether it's someone that they love or not, it's a traumatic experience, certainly more traumatic when it's someone you know. And I had to be the one to make that decision to stop and tell them not to continue. And, I was able to hold him afterwards and say goodbye and thank his medical team. And I took about only a week and a half off from work. And then I was back because I just couldn't sit at home and just have all these thoughts all day. And the second day back from getting back to work, I had a patient that crashed under anesthesia and I had to do CPR, and the dog didn't make it. And just so soon after I just gone through that with my own son, it just has changed me in ways that I can't even describe. It has altered me as a person. I don't even fully understand the impact it has on me. Most of it I don't think is positive. But it's just an example of how grief can impact our job so much. And it's not something I'll ever get over, or I'll ever forget. That's just something I'm dealing with every day.
So to the listeners, let's talk a little bit about Salida and the medical doctor program, because I really want to help get this program, help fund this program. So what can we do to help?
Yeah, I think it's important to mention that it's a completely donor-funded program. So if they run out of donations, the program might have to go away. And they estimated it costs around $100,000 a year to run this medical dog program. So that's why they reached out to me, to help kind of keep funds going so they can keep Salida around as long as possible and hopefully even potentially expand it. Just talking with some of the providers there, the need for Salida is far more than she is capable. So I think they would love to have another dog. Like, the requests every day just exceed her capacity. So the more money we can raise for them, the better off this program will be. And of course, just raising awareness and getting as many people aware of it as possible.
Is there a website? I know it's on your Instagram. Is there also a website for listeners to check it out?
Yeah, there's not necessarily one specifically for Salida, but Children's Hospital Colorado, if they want to donate directly to them, has their own fundraising page.
Yeah, and then I did notice that it is on your Instagram, which we'll put in the show notes to the listeners out there if you're interested to help donate that. Because, listen, we all know, everyone tuning in knows what animals do to us, the amount of joy and smiles that they give us. I think it starts so early on about choosing kindness and giving them that hope to those kids that are not feeling well in the hospital, and putting smiles on their faces, because for a moment, they take it away. It's not about them for a moment. They're just loving the animals and enjoying the human animal bond, something that we all are. It's literally our why in this profession, of why we do what we do every day. So if we can help pass that baton forward to Salida and to those children that she's working on, I think that would be wonderful, very important for our profession to do. That's why, to the listeners, I really invited Andrew on, because it really struck a chord with me. Your stories, I try not to get choked up about this because I really do mean this. It really hit me. It hit me to the core, to the point where I had to reach out to you. And I was like, wow, I feel what you're going through. And I was going through your posts and whatnot. You're an incredible human being. Like, I'm so proud that you're in this profession, by the way. You've been through so much and you continuously inspire others. And I wanted you to come on again, obviously, so we can help Salida out, but also what you've been through. I'm sure many of us have gone through something of that magnitude. This is very traumatizing, I'm sure, but you just continuously do your thing. I'm so proud of you. So thank you for that.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. And I'm just really passionate about our profession. Like, I'm so feel so fortunate just to be in it. And I want to spread a positive culture around veterinary medicine and get people happy in the profession again. And so that's what I'm doing on Instagram.
I love it. I mean, we all do it in all different capacities. I mean, if you see me at the fetch shows, everyone, you see me dancing up on stage. I live a life of not taking yourself too seriously. Life is too short. And it's just, you got to be in the moment and enjoy. I mean, that's what I've learned from the losses that I've encountered, that I'm just going to be present, live my best life, and create a legacy that people are going to want to remember me by. And I think everyone should live that mantra. You know, it's so important. So, okay, I got to ask you some fun facts about vet medicine. So what made you decide to become a veterinarian?
You know, unfortunately, I don't have a good story with that. I think I'm like so many vets out there that's just always what I wanted to do as a kid. And I just didn't let go of that dream until I got there.
Okay. Favorite dog breed and go.
Oh, I think that's pretty obvious if you follow my Instagram. It's Chihuahuas.
Yeah.
I just love
Oh,
the little guys. I think.
yes. They're so cute. They really are. And you know, you're probably the Chihuahua Wrangler, right? Like they just get you get them, right?
Yeah, and I think I like them because I see a little bit of myself in them because they're little guys that fight above their weight class,
Yes.
and I'm not that big of a guy, but I love to play rugby, and I'm not scared of the biggest guy on the pitch.
Yeah. I love that. It's awesome. Yeah, that's how I feel about, I have dachshunds, obviously, and yeah, like big personality, just a stronghold, but they're just oh, so funny. They really are. They're such comedians of the dog breeds. They really are. What do you love most about being a veterinarian?
I think at this stage of my career, I love helping other veterinary professionals be the best version of themselves. So I mentor a handful of students from vet school, and anytime I have them with me, it just it's so motivating and keeps me engaged within the profession.
Yeah, oh, it really is. And especially with what you do on social media too, that you make a huge impact in that regard. So, well, Dr. Andrew, thank you so much for being on the show and all the great work. And again, we're going to put everything in the show notes for you to follow, both him as well as information for Salida. And I know we're going to be helping you out here at DVM360 as best as we can. So thank you for everything that you're doing.
Yeah, I can't thank you and all your listeners enough for helping us out.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning in. Please check them out. And don't forget to rate the podcast, as always, as we continue to grow here. And we'll see you next time on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.